Welcome to the July 10th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Anna Tulu and Adam Slate. A congregation tends to think of itself as a single cohesive community, but it is actually made up of small, distinct groups, each with a distinct history, set of concerns, and level of access. A healthy, loving, and justice-minded congregation continually looks outside its core membership, not just inviting people into the center, but expanding to meet people where they are. Adam will help us explore what it means to widen the circle of one's church community at the margin.
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Anna Tulu, your worship associate today. I'm leading worship this morning with our guest speaker, Adam Slate. If you're with us for the first time, we are glad that you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat or the paper card in the back of the sanctuary. We ask you to fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or sorrow that you wish to be shared aloud later in the service, you can find a link in the chat or cards that are available near the entrance to the sanctuary, and we'll collect those during the opening hymn. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. You can look at the calendar on our website for times, location, Zoom links, and contact information if needed. Thanks to all the volunteers this morning and throughout the week who make all of these activities possible. Some of the things coming up this week, there is an anti-racism group this afternoon at 1 o'clock on Zoom. There's a men's breakfast Monday at 7 a.m. and a women's breakfast Monday at 7:30. There's a parent bereavement support group Monday at 6 p.m. on Zoom. There's a meditation group Tuesday at 5 o'clock on Zoom, and the young adults, the UUYA, young adults high school to age 25, meets Tuesdays 6:30 to 8:30 here at the church. Caregiver support group is on Tuesday at 7 o'clock on Zoom. Conversations on our faith are Wednesdays at noon. Yoga is here at the church on Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. This week, the Earth Spirit Sisters are having their full moon celebration Wednesday at 6:30 out by the labyrinth. The board meeting is Thursday at 7 o'clock, and that will be here at the church and on Zoom, and please contact Nancy Bodenhorn if you would like to attend. The Women's Lunch Bunch is meeting Friday at 11:30 at Lost in Taste, a restaurant in Christiansburg, and the Peacemakers are meeting Saturday morning at 10 o'clock here at the church. There's also a transgender support group on Saturday. So this morning, we are greeting one another across space, virtually and in physical space. If you're joining us via Zoom, we are so grateful that you are here. Please greet your neighbors by writing in the chat where you are this morning. And as you do that, we'll be sharing the Zoom screen with the folks in the sanctuary so they can see your smiling faces. If you're comfortable, go ahead and turn on your camera so we can see each other. And I will pull up the chat. So we have Molly and Irene saying good morning from Uptown Christiansburg. Oh, we've got Gail and Susie in Galax. Tony is in Roanoke. Hi, Tony. Kathleen from Highland Park in Blacksburg, Doug and Sally out on Airport Road in Blacksburg, Anne says hi from Pulaski, Beth is in Soggy Radford, we feel you, Bill Conk is in Floyd, Steve says hi from Blacksburg, Denise from Primrose Drive in Blacksburg, Amanda from Price's Fork, Joan, hi Joan, from Floyd, Brianna from Radford, and Helen's in Newport in Giles County, Jamie, hello Jamie, in Pasadena, California, and Denise Matthews, also from Awette Radford. Well, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us today. And we also want for everyone here in the sanctuary to be able to see, we want everyone on Zoom to be able to see those of you on the in the sanctuary. So I'm going to do a little Zoom here. Sorry, I hope everyone took their Dramamine. There we go. So please join me in reading the words on your screen as we light the chalice. We light this chalice. Our opening words today are from Adams Unitarian Congregation in New Unity of London. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, whatever your life situation, whatever you believe or don't believe, whatever the color of your skin, whatever your age, whatever your abilities, wherever you are, whether you are filled with sadness or overflowing with joy today, whether you are eager to engage with others or need time just to be, whether you have brought your best self this morning or your struggling self, whether you come with an open heart or feel closed up because of wounds you carry, perhaps due to fear, shame, or lack of trust, there is a place for you here. I hope that today you find something that makes you think differently, something that touches your heart, and something that makes you at least a bit uncomfortable, because that's how we grow. Whoever you are not alone. You are welcome here. Please join in reading our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. So let us celebrate our ability to contribute to our community by collecting an offering. It is a practice of our congregation to share half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization, and this week's recipient is Equality Virginia, or EV. It is the leading advocacy organization in Virginia seeking equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer people. EV is building a fully inclusive commonwealth by educating, empowering, and mobilizing Virginians to ensure all LGBTQ people are free to live, love, learn, and work. Please give online using the link in the chat or through the many ways listed on the screen. For those of you who are here in the sanctuary today and would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary, and we thank everyone for their generosity. As we collect our offering, we will enjoy Brian playing Imagine by John Lennon and Yoko Ono, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourself and others. And for those online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory. Join me as we accept these offerings. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Today's meditation is Your Hands, written by the Reverend Lucas Hergert, who offered them on July 5th, 2022 at the Interfaith Vigil in Highland Park, Illinois, following the shootings at the Independence Day parade there. The Independence Day parade in which 7 people were killed. After the reading, we'll observe a few moments of silence. Your hands. The ones that you are holding together in prayer or desperation or hope. The ones with the tiny scar you've carried since that bicycle accident all those years before. The ones that today may shake with worry or sit still from the gravity of headlines. Those hands, your hands, there is something to remember. A needful thing to remember about your hands. That they are the same hands that petted the cool, slick back of a kitten on its first day. The same ones that flattened the crumpled edges of a construction paper heart after the glue came unstuck. The same hands that just last night pulled your family's patchwork under the chin of your youngest as you whispered, "It's going to be okay," and wanted it to be so. The same hands that offered in the simplest gesture of gift giving tissues to a stranger who, tears streaking her face, asked, "Why? Why?" addressed not to you, but to God. Asked of a world whose glue has come unstuck. They are the same hands that give the world its most needful thing. You know its most needful thing. You know because your hands have always given it, always offered or tried to offer the kindest touch exactly when it was hoped for. And you know nothing can change that, right? Nothing can take away the brilliant, beautiful power of the hands God gave you, not to pull a trigger, but to proclaim the softness of the world. Nothing can annul the kindness of your touch. There is power in your hands, the power of a kindness that beckons to remake the world, always as though this were its first day.
Our reading today is What Does It Mean to Widen the Circle? By Teresa Honey Youngblood, a credentialed Unitarian Universalist religious educator. I've been learning a lot about the concept of in-groups lately from the field of psychology. In-groups are groups where we feel belonging because we share something important to us in common with all the other members of that group. You likely have several in-groups. Maybe you are dedicated to a sports team and follow and participate in fan groups in person or online. Maybe you spend time with a naturalist group doing trail and habitat restoration. Perhaps you ride with other cyclists and together advocate for better bike awareness and infrastructure in your region. On your social justice team in your church or covenanted community, you may be leading your family of faith toward more just and effective action. All these in-groups and others like them give us a sense of belonging, as well as being among our people, which feels good, and at its best, amplifies our efforts to make the world better. And it can sometimes be really difficult to belong to and enjoy an in-group while also widening the circle for others, not only to join us with their, but to change us with their unique and divine spark. That is one very tricky needle to thread. How do you identify and nurture the core of who you are as a group, while also cultivating curiosity and openness that allows the group to grow and evolve? All the while, fostering a sense of trust and belonging among long-timers and incomers alike. This is a loving edge of the circle we are called to.
I realized in March when I was visiting a church that I always make an excuse to take my jacket off, like the weather, or I'm getting to know the congregation better, and the truth is I just don't like preaching with my jacket on, and just doing it now. Thank you so much for having me back. It's been 6 months since I've been here with you, and 4 years, I went back and checked, 4 years since I've been in this pulpit in person. I want to give a special word of greeting to those of you attending on Zoom. I'm one of the people in my congregation who, because of health issues, needing accessibility accommodations, age, or in my case, physical location, attend mostly online. So I'm ever mindful of the great blessing it is for those of us who can't always be in the building to be able to connect with the rest of the community. A number of years ago, I was part of the leadership of a church that was experiencing an intergenerational conflict. Most of the leaders were my age or older. They had lots of experience with how the church worked, and they also felt like they welcomed the participation of younger members, often looking for ways to draw them in. The younger members wrestled with how to be involved in church life. Many of them were busy with jobs, family commitments, kids. They weren't sure how to access the meaningful volunteer roles and weren't always sure if those roles were open to them. Most people in the congregation wanted to play some sort of role in the church, and everyone felt that they were open to working with others, and yet these problems persisted. At the time, I was friends with the president of a nearby synagogue, and we talked about the challenge of bringing younger members into congregational leadership. He said it took years of work to change the dynamics. It left me wondering what was going on. What dynamics were at play in my congregation that I wasn't seeing? And I couldn't help thinking that if some of our mostly white, mostly middle-class members could find themselves on the outskirts of the church community, what about people of color? People from the LGBTQ plus community, those with limited financial means, or members with mental or physical challenges. This issue of how to make sure people are included within the circle of a community is many layered. Those already inside the circle may not realize there's an issue. And even if we do, we may find that our efforts to be inclusive are not readily welcomed by people who've been marginalized because of how we have violated their trust in the past. Or those at the margins may not understand the coded language and behaviors necessary to be accepted within the community. So let's unpack some of this. We should start by asking why we should widen the circle to create a more inclusive community. This is not a rhetorical question. This is a good question. Some of us have been members of our congregation for a long time. We have a preferred style of worship and routines and traditions. So truly, why start mixing things up and risk changing this church in ways we might not like? Where does that call come from? Why not just stay within our comfortable groups and ways of doing things? Some of us may be moved by the biblical ethic to love our neighbors, to make room for those who are other than ourselves, and to support the marginalized and the oppressed. One way we can do this is to make our church home a home for a more diverse group of people. Another reason to widen the circle is that a lot of our congregations formed many years ago, when it was considered more appropriate for a church to be more homogeneous, and people with different beliefs and identities were segregated into different denominations. That's not appropriate for Unitarian Universalists now. That's not the Unitarian Universalism we talk about on Sundays and describe on our church websites, highlighting how we value open minds and diverse backgrounds. Maybe most importantly, if we don't adapt our congregations to offer the kind of diverse, multicultural, broadly spiritual communities and worship experiences that many, particularly younger people, seek today, if we keep doing what we've been doing the way we've been doing it, we simply won't thrive. We're already seeing this among some of the Unitarian churches in my denomination. Many of you likely already know that this is a tangible threat to our faith. I once heard that over in the UK, there are about 160 Unitarian churches, and one particularly dire estimate is that half of them could be gone in 10 years. So those are some reasons to make room in our community for new faces. And maybe you find those reasons compelling. If so, take a moment to think about how you picture that happening. Imagine throwing open your doors wide and new people streaming in. Close your eyes and imagine that Sunday, sometime down the road, right here in this sanctuary. I wonder if you're picturing a day a lot like today, maybe with less rain, but with more people filling the seats, maybe from more diverse backgrounds, more people on Zoom from around the country and maybe the world, more younger people, more same-sex couples. But that Sunday in the future won't just be a better attended version of today, will it? Because when new people arrive, the circle doesn't just get larger. It wants to change due to those new influences. So we have to learn not only how to invite people into our community, but how to grow and change to meet the communities that we're inviting in. Writer, activist, and Zen priest, Reverend Angel Kyoto Williams, writes that it's a community's job to figure out how we can stretch into the so-called margins to broaden our understanding and ability to be inclusive. Inclusivity is not how do we make you part of what we are, but how do we become more of what you are? And a congregation impacts its members and its community in so many ways, each one offering an opportunity to make new people feel welcome or not. We do this with our routines, our policies, our rituals, our worship themes, our staffing, how we choose our lay leaders, our governance structure, how we recruit volunteers, the ethnic and racial mix of the authors we choose for our readings and our music, how we think and talk about our history, how we incorporate online events, and how we arrange our furniture. Everything we do can make our community seem more open or more exclusive, make us seem more inviting or more like insiders. At times, we can seem exclusive and uninviting without even realizing it, even with good intentions. This can be really subtle, so I want to give a few examples. Perhaps someone is reading announcements during the service and mentions an event that requires us to sign up. The notice says to email Jamie. Now, many of you likely know that Jamie is Reverend Pam's spouse. But if I'm new and I don't know Jamie, or I don't have an email address for him, or if I've met more than one Jamie in the congregation, I may not feel welcome to sign up for the event. I may end up feeling like an outsider. One more. There's a reading by Unitarian minister James Vila Blake that many churches use for their opening words. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. How many of you know it? Some. A lot of churches use it as their opening words. I've always loved this reading, particularly its reference to covenant, the implied promises that church members make to each other. Recently, a UU ministerial colleague of mine who identifies as a queer person of color and gave the okay to share this story expressed to me that they don't like this reading because it offers a picture of Unitarian Universalism that hasn't been enjoyed by UUs with marginal identities, and it paints a vision that has not yet been realized. What? This beloved reading, so popular with so many UUs? This is love is the spirit of this church. This is as UU as you can get, isn't it? Or is it? Everything we do has the potential to reach outward or put up barriers. And one of our jobs, if we believe we're called to be inviting, is to pay attention and learn to be attuned to those times when we might inadvertently send the wrong message. Some obstacles to widening our communities to new people can be hard to accept. We pick a church because there are things we love about it, and we don't want anyone to mess with those things. I like classical music, and I don't want to sing. I love to sing, and I don't want a choir. I want an opportunity to greet other congregants on Sunday. I'm uncomfortable with a greet your neighbor where people are having to talk face to face. I can only attend on Zoom and want to feel like part of the congregation. I find the Zoom screen distracting. I want a service that will pull me out of my comfort zone every week. I want a service that will nurture me every week. And in these situations, it's so tempting to use our power to influence the way these choices get worked out, to want our long tenure or generous pledging or status as an elder or elected leader to give us extra influence around those decisions. And yet, it can be so powerful to come to a place where we're willing to let go of that to help someone else feel included. To say goodbye to the parts of the familiar church we love, to live in the discomfort and perhaps grieve the change, and then one day discover that you're home. I want to finish by talking about stories, because stories are one way that a congregation establishes its character, and it's a place where privilege can hide. Think of the example I gave a few minutes ago about the James Vila Blake reading. The story in most churches is that this is a beloved reading in the Unitarian Universalist and Unitarian traditions. That is a true story. It's an accurate reflection of how the reading is perceived by some of us, but it's only one story. There's another story that this reading paints too much of a feel-good picture of our communities. That might be a true story for a Unitarian Universalist of African or Caribbean descent, or a trans or non-binary UU, or a neurodivergent UU. This second story helps give voice to people's pain, pain that can't be healed if these stories are not heard. So what are your stories here at UUC? When you think of the things you know about this place through stories, who do you picture telling them? Are they always the same group of people, or do the stories come from a wide range of places within the congregation? Who are the acknowledged wisdom bearers? What stories may have gone unnoticed? And most importantly, what might you do? How might you find new ways to listen to recover those stories that go silent? As we strive to incorporate this change in mindset, those of us who are part of the dominant culture need to be careful about what's going on inside of us. Inside us, that place where we feel the tug of discomfort and our feelings can be hurt when what we're used to changes without our consent. James Cone, the American theologian who was central to the development of liberation theology, warns that dominant groups always get suspicious when change begins to take place and when the voiceless begin to speak. It's as if centuries of being dominant have wired us to be intensely sensitive to the risks that face us when we open the circle to other voices. We have to keep that awareness in the back of our mind. When Charlottesville was preparing for an onslaught of white nationalists 5 years ago, there was a saying we heard repeatedly while organizing to face them that speaks to the power of who gets to frame narratives. Until the lion gets to tell its story, the hunter will always be the hero. Until the lion gets to tell its story, the hunter will always be the hero. One of the ways we affirm that everyone is valued regardless of what we believe or look like, that Black lives matter, that LGBTQ plus lives matter, that those among us living with mental illness matter, that those of us with limited financial means matter, is to make space for people to tell their stories so we can honor them appropriately. Oh my goodness. What a challenge we have before us to live faithfully with each other. I hope you've heard my examples of how widening the circle of our community is fraught with risk and chances for us to fall down at every turn. You've likely heard implied in my message that we get it wrong all the time. Ouch. But I forgot to mention a few things. I forgot to mention that we're human and we're Unitarian Universalists, and that gives us some powerful resources. We have an infinite capacity for love and empathy if we choose to use it, and a strong sense of justice. We know what's right, even when we're failing or thinking mostly of ourselves or not quite sure what to do, we usually know what's right. Those among us who have been marginalized and excluded have modeled what it means to stay in relationship with those among us doing the marginalizing and excluding, offering grace and more patience than we should reasonably expect. And finally, yes, we fall down all the time, but we also get back up again all the time. When we're at our best, owning our mistakes, asking forgiveness, making amends, and trying again. This process of widening the circle is and will continue to be a constant struggle, and we Unitarian Universalists need to be engaged in that struggle. May all of us have the strength, wisdom, and compassion to stay in it, to share power, to hear each other's stories, and to be generous with each other. Amen. As we leave today's gathering and head into the coming week, may we both find peace and work for peace. May we be treated generously and treat the people around us with generosity. May we have the wisdom, strength, and patience, and know when to exercise each. May the community of love that we share here in this sanctuary work its way out into the world, both through the holy presence we create and through our actions. Until we are together again, go in peace.